I'm so excited about how my business is growing, but along with it, my daily life has gotten crazy, like managing my employees and taking sales calls, all while driving my kids to school, soccer practice, and trying to keep my head on straight. I don't want the growth to stop, and I know we need to create a better online presence to do that, but we haven't written a blog, posted on social media, or touched our website in months. I'm not even sure I know how to move forward, so I just haven't. But then I found The Breezy Company, a monthly marketing service subscription that provides experienced and consistent teams with your most demanding marketing tasks through an efficient and streamlined process. It's so simple. I just chose the plan I needed. They matched me with one of their amazing Breezy team members. They onboarded me, and my company was off to the marketing races. I finally feel confident that I have a team who has my business's back and is working to promote what we do, drive leads to our pipeline, and make our brand look amazing. Now, back to work. The Breezy Company, scalable marketing teams.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Accelerating your fandom, this is Flash TV Talk.
Welcome to Flash TV Talk, the fan podcast dedicated to news, reviews, and more for the hit CW show, The Flash. I'm Bo.
And I'm Bell.
Bell, man, how are you doing tonight, sir?
I am quarantined.
Yeah, we are quarantined. We haven't really been back in proper since quarantined. We had the Grandma Esther's Bourbon Bunker quarantine call-in net fail show, which was a mess because we tried to do live on Facebook, which I'm pretty sure I can say now officially we'll never do again. Like, it's all going to be pretty much Twitch. We might try to figure out Twitter, but we ain't going back to Facebook. But, you know, we did have an attempt at a call-in show. We will once again do that, you know, as we get kind of later on in the season. We always like to do kind of a wrap-up show that'll also be a call-in show. So hopefully we'll have all of the kinks worked out then, and we'll also stick with Twitch and no more Facebook so that we don't have all the issues that came last time.
It was awful.
It was rough, but right, I should say, man, we are live right now. We're using twitch.tv/TheRealBoYork. You can also tune in live at podastery.com/live2. All those links subject to change probably by the time you're listening to this. If you're listening to this in retrospect, which, man, we always got to remember, a lot of times, you know, people discover shows, you know, years after the show. So like right now, someone's listening to this podcast episode, like maybe 5 years from now when like coronavirus and the quarantine is a long gone memory. Like it's going to be really interesting. I mean, just as a whole.
It's a time capsule. That's what it is. Yeah. Yeah.
It is a time capsule. That's a great way to put it. And so anyway, I just think about all the things that we've said over the years that are no longer true.
I wonder if there's any like prophetic, you know, things that we've said that if we were to go back and listen 5 years ago, where it's like, you know, we just randomly said, oh, it wouldn't be funny if this happened. And then all of a sudden, like it happened.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. I'm sure we called some. I mean, I think we've definitely called some stuff. Hey, Eobard, the ghost of Eobard Thawne, I called that back after. that was a season two right there. So one way or the other, man, we got a great show that we're going to have for you guys today. Really excited to get into it. First, we got to give a shout out to everybody who's making this podcast happen. I'm talking about our patrons over at patreon.com/TV Talk. Special shout out this week to patrons, Hallie and Kyle. Y'all are amazing. Or I say Hallie, it's Haley. Is it Haley or Hallie? How do you prefer to give the old spin there?
I think that's Haley.
Haley?
I think Hallie is two L's.
Have I ever mentioned I'm dyslexic? Because I definitely am dyslexic, but
that's important context here.
Hallie, we really appreciate you. Kyle, you as well. Thank y'all so much for making this show happen. And hey, if you're able to help support the show, especially in these trying times, head over to patreon.com/TV Talk to learn more. Join our Discord where there's some great discussions going on. But yeah, we need your help to keep the lights on. It's getting tight these days. So by all means, head over there if you're able. Man, we also have got an awesome episode to discuss. We're going to be doing things a little bit differently, which you'll kind of find out as we go along. But we are going to do the first half of the show is going to be very traditional here, which I'm excited for. So shall we do it, man?
Let's do it.
Let's jump into the rundown.
The rundown.
Episode 16 of season 6. So long and good night. directed by Alexandra LaRoche and story by
Kristen Kim and Thomas Pound.
Belle, what happened this episode?
Well, after Black Hole hires Ragdoll to kill Joe, Sing suggests that Joe go into witness protection program, while Ralph runs into Sue and Iris becomes suspicious of Ava.
Dun, dun, dun. Do-do-do-do-do.
That's right. It's a shorter description this week. That's fine.
Yeah, I got on early to see if I needed to modify it, and it was like two sentences, and so I was like, oh, never mind.
I figure we'll keep it tight, man. We'll keep it tight because there's a lot going on here, and I really want to jump into the discussion. This episode had a theme, Belle. I don't know if you picked up on it, but that theme was hard choices.
Okay.
No, I mean, like, no. Do you concur? Did you pick up on that, or am I just making this up?
I mean, I suppose so. It makes sense.
Think about it. Barry is having to make some hard choices as he's dealing with the lack of Speed Force that he has access to. Joe seen making hard choices throughout his entire plot line. You think about it. Joe had to make some hard choices when it came to, you know, leaving the Black Hole case or staying on the Black Hole case. He also had to make some hard choices when he did that old Indiana Jones move on the chair. And then
he was going like 120 miles an hour and he rolled out of a car like, you ain't getting up from that.
No, I mean, listen, we'll talk about the unkillable Joe West later on, but I'm just saying he had some hard choices, man. He also had a hard choice when he was on top of that bomb and he had all those green wires. He had to make a hard choice on which wire to pull. He also had to make a hard choice, like, you know, whether or not to record on the cloud versus directly on your device, whether or not to show the villain that you're actively recording them. That can be a hard choice for some people, apparently.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Joe West, apparently very, very difficult to kill. Ragdoll sucks at killing Joe. But good to see Ragdoll back.
Yeah. You know, like I mentioned it before, but every episode with Ragdoll and it feels like a Halloween episode. He's just so creepy. But yeah, he's not good at what he does, which is maybe, I don't know, you know, his mother has died. And so he doesn't have that just drive that he normally has to make people suffer. And he's just off his game. But yeah, he's not very good.
I mean, you could argue that at the very tail end, he actually did concoct a pretty tragic scenario. Now, it requires kind of a Marvel Civil War level of, or Captain America Civil War level of things happening exactly the right way in order for it to happen type situation. But, I mean, it did put Joe in a tragic situation. And if he had not guessed the right wire, he would have actually been dead by the end. So, despite my initial criticism of Ragdoll being terrible at this, he actually did, practically, in all intents and purposes, would have had him dead by the end of it.
Well, and also, Flash hadn't been able to show up. Like, I think he shot four bullets at Ragdoll, who spun them back around on Joe, and only one of them grazed him, but, like, the other ones, had Flash not shown up, probably would have killed him, too.
Yeah, let's talk about that real quick. Remind me, but I don't believe we've ever seen Ragdoll throw bullets before.
We've never seen Ragdoll look this much like elongated, man.
That's the other thing. Like, I have noticed, like, when Ragdoll first showed up, I think you and I were both, like, you know, like, blown away by this interpretation of the character and the way that they were able to bring him to life. And, you know, obviously this talented actor and his physical capabilities and what he was able to practically bring to that character, which made it, you know, even creepier than the context of the character already was. But it seems as though he has gotten progressively more CGI as we've had the character, which to me, Belle, is a little unfortunate because I feel like the more stretchy and CGI-y he gets, the less creepy he becomes. Is that just me?
No, I think you're right. Like, I think the you know, creepo factor for me was just seeing human joints manipulated like that. Like, actually, like the practical nature of it is just what's so unsettling. But, like, you know, watching Elongated Man, like, stretch his arms out or something like that, you know, that's okay, CGI, but it's not like, ooh, kind of when you watch him, like, twist and turn.
Yeah,
and
it's like stretch arm song, Tridville.
Yeah. And so, like, there's one aspect of it which was kind of neat, and it was in the office when he, like, his fingers stretched out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was a useful application of the CGI, I think. But for the most part, I like it when it's just mainly practical stuff that they're doing with him.
Yeah. I mean, like, I really do think that that adds something is when we see that. And I mean, again, it showcases the talent of the guy portraying the character, but you know, Ragdoll, obviously a fan favorite. And so it's fun to have him back. And it also does add that Halloween creepy nature to the fact that not just is Joe on the run for his life, but he's on the run from his life from someone that we is kind of a known fear factor, maybe not a powerhouse per se, but certainly somebody that we're going to feel afraid of initially. So yes, Ragdoll, maybe not a powerhouse, but certainly somebody who definitely brings the fear factor. And, you know, I think if you're going to try to kill Joe West and take him out of play, I mean, who better when it's all said and done?
I mean, because the other candidate would definitely be Dr. Light.
Interesting fact about this episode. This is the first time that we've actually seen Black Hole using a non-light based metahuman.
Yeah.
Now, the motivations and kind of his more depressing nature of I don't care about the money. I'm just trying to, you know, bring pain and take it all with me type deal implies to me that he's not tied to the organization in the same way the other metas are.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Because there is a lot of kind of questions about Black Hole. You know, as I was watching this episode, I was doing so with a notebook in hand, and I was starting to, like, you know, make kind of like one of those, you know, like when the cops try to make the organizational structure of the people, you know, in the,
yeah,
in the
crime, yeah.
You know, so I was basically having that kind of situation with Black Hole. And I was like, okay, so, you know, Ava's husband is at the head of it and Singh is over here trying to keep Joe out of it. And then all of these light based characters are connected to it. And now we got Ragdoll in the mix. So, and it's interesting because this episode actually provided with us with a ton of context for the organizational structure, or at least a little bit more about what's been going on. We have now kind of more of an official confirmation for all the characters involved that Ava's husband is in fact in charge of Black Hole, that Dr. Light, Sunshine, Ultraviolet, that they are all on the payroll. And apparently, whatever we think they're doing, Bell, it's a million times worse than that.
That is very true.
Well, it might not be true, but that's very much what he said.
Well, yeah, that was what I was getting at.
Here's the question. Like, what did you think? Because let's start with this right here, because that's an interesting claim of whatever you think I'm guilty of, it's a million times worse than that. Like, okay, that's interesting. What did you think at this stage in the game before this episode? If you had to put it down what Black Hole is responsible for, what they're involved in, what do you think it is?
Well, I mean, so what do they have them on right now? They have them on like murder, conspiracy to commit murder, various things like that. So what's a million times worse than murder? Maybe killing a million people. I don't know.
like death on a global scale for sure. I think that's.
I mean, he mentioned that he had like both Ava and Evan, right? Evan.
Is his name Evan? You know what? I've just been kind of seeing, like, every single time he's on the screen, I'm like, oh, it's Ava's husband. Like, I don't actually know his name.
It's Mr. McCullough. How about
Mr.
that?
Mr. McCullough. There you go.
So they both mentioned Ava.
The mirror mister, if you will.
The mirror mister. There we go. Not mirror. Yeah.
Not mirror master. She's in the mirror.
Mirror mistress's mister.
No, she's the mirror master and he's the mirror mister.
No, she's the mirror mistress.
No, she's the mirror master.
She's the mirror master.
Because I think based on this interpretation, I mean, we've talked about this, but
yeah,
basically they're taking the Evan McCullough character and they've twisted it so that now she is actually the Mirror Master. I mean,
right.
Literally, she's controlling the mirror. So
is she going to call herself Mirror Master? They're going to call her Mirror Mistress. Probably.
I think they're going to call her Mirror Master.
Anyway, so McCullough and Ava were both like, we had visions for humanity. And he's like, I'm actually doing mine. And so obviously there's some kind of nefarious plan there. And if what they've done is murder, what's a million times worse than murder? They're going to kill a bunch of people. Or they're going to do something to, you know, I don't know what his vision is. I mean, something to do with light. I don't know. It seems
something
weird
to do with light. That thing is very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And another thing that's been kind of throwing a wrench in things is like at times it seems like Ava wants to stop him. And at times it seems like Ava wants to protect him, because there were two parts in this episode. One part where she was like, no, you know, you got to get Joe West out of here. You know, we got to protect him or something like that. And then evidently at the end, she's like, if anybody's going to, you know, get rid of him, it's going to be me, kind of thing. And so it's like she's protecting him, but she wants to get rid of him. So it's like, what are her motivations in there? Maybe she just wants to kill on him. I don't know. But that was throwing me for a loop because I was like, at first, she seemed to resent him. And then she was like, no, I want to save him. And then at the end, she's like, nah, if anybody's going to take him out, it's going to be me. So
I think that's it right there. I mean, like, that's where, I mean, this is the first time that we really get a sense of where everybody is, because it is, it's been a confusing back half of the season because of all of the different pieces at play. And I don't just mean the characters. I mean, like, the organizations and the lack of clarity in terms of which organizations and individuals, like, what their actual wants are, what their actual needs are, what their actual, you know, what's actually standing in their way. Like, a lot of that has been kind of kept shrouded in mystery. And so this is the first time that we actually do get to see kind of more of a clear depiction of what's going on, with also some question marks. I'm wondering if we'll ever actually get a chance to know what a million times worse than what we were thinking is, because I have a feeling that the Black Hole, I think the indication here is that Black Hole is more of a criminal organization that's got its hands in everything. I think that's the implication, is it's more of like, if it's crime, Black Hole's involved. If it's meta crime specifically, Black Hole's involved in some form or fashion. We may end up seeing, you know, maybe there's a tie here between Black Hole and Lex Luthor or something of that nature. There's a lot of ways they could potentially take it. But I don't know that there'll actually be a thing, like this one thing that's a million times worse than what you were expecting. I think it's mostly just a reference to the reach that this organization has. That's just my guess.
I disagree. I think that whatever their plan is going to be the big thing they're going to have to stop this episode or this season.
So you think that, if that's the case, does that mean that Ava's not really a villain? Because she's trying to stop Black Hole. And the other thing too is, like, they've got this whole deal, right? Like, it's like, okay, I had a vision for humanity and you had a vision for humanity and they're both evil, but they're different. So we're going to, you know, it almost reminds me, there was a season of Justice League Unlimited where Grodd has reformed the Injustice Gang and they're working on this whole big deal. And at the very final end of it, it turns out that the big plot line, the big thing that he was trying to accomplish, was to turn all of humanity into gorillas, into apes. And at the very end of it, and it's funny because Lex Luthor is kind of like a second in command, and the Lex Luthor gorilla is like a hairless gorilla, which is really funny. and then at the end of it, when the Justice League wins and turns everybody back into people, Lex Luthor was like, I was going to wait a couple of months for doing this. And then he betrays him. He's like, but seriously, turning everybody into apes, that was your evil plan? There is a level of, like, you know, your evil plan and my evil plan might not be the same, but, you know, we're all on the same evil team until we betray each other. And maybe that's what happened.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's going to be a situation where maybe initially her goal was more noble, right? And she's gone mad in this mirror universe and, you know, she's going to stop Joseph Carter's plan and then try to enact hers. And then there's going to be, you know, like a battle of the evil plans, maybe.
Yeah. Okay. So I got to pull in some stuff that I want. So there's a lot about this plot line that I really want to kind of like dive into that requires referencing another television show. And it's like an active television show that's not done yet.
Which
is dangerous. All right, so I'm going to do this without spoiling anything.
What show is it?
It's Westworld, but like a lot's gone on this season in Westworld that has potentially like made me reconsider a lot about the season of The Flash for a number of reasons. Hmm. And so I'm going to try to talk around this. You have not watched Westworld, right?
I've seen the pilot episode of Westworld.
It's a fantastic show. But the season 3 is completely different from the first two seasons.
That's what I gathered from all the advertisements that I've watched that have kind of spoiled everything that happened in the prior seasons, but whatever.
I mean, like, at this point, it's your fault. I mean, it's a couple years back. Yeah, but I'm not going to spoil that. Suffice to say, I will say that this season, a large part of what's going on is I think they even refer to it as kind of a mirror world. They talk about the fact that, like, there's this super advanced artificial intelligence that's calculating reality based off of a mirror of reality that's created to calculate reality. Does that make sense?
Sure.
So it's a mirror world. It's like the Matrix, if you will, right? But they refer to it as a mirror world. And there's also aspects of that show dealing with somebody, dealing with people that may not be the people that you think they are, and the way that you find out what they really are, I'm starting to think may have ties to what's going on with Ava and the Mirror Universe. That's about the best I could say to it without just completely spoiling everything that's happening this season. But okay, for those that are watching both Westworld and The Flash, I think you're tracking with me.
I don't think they are.
Listen, Legends is in the chat currently. Legends, you tracking with me? Okay, you tracking with me? I'm just going to say, this is what I'm going to say for everybody who's watching Westworld season 3, and I don't think this is going to spoil anything. I think that Ava is Dolores in all of this. And if you get that, you track it with me. And for everybody else that's like, okay, stop talking about Westworld, just get back to Flash. Now I'm going to get back to the Flash. We're going to talk about this now. All right.
Flash,
so there you
World.
Go. So you need to watch it, man. Westworld TV Talk. Maybe that'll be the thing.
I liked the pilot episode. I don't know. Just when do I ever have a chance to do anything?
I hear that. When you're under quarantine, man, that's what you got to do.
I still have work. I still work. I work, you know, more now than I did under quarantine.
Listen, I'm right there with you, man. It was difficult finding the time to watch the show, to be honest with you. But I'm, you know what? I'm glad that I was able to, especially watch it today as I was kind of pre-prepping, because it gave me a new appreciation for the Sue, Lena, Kyle, Ralph storyline, which, you know, it's great. I mean, like, you know, it's been interesting how they've thrown us for a loop with Sue. And I think that there is, we've talked about this obviously in previous episodes. I think they're doing something with the character that works, but I understand why people are a little off put by it, because it is such a drastic different trajectory from the character of the comics. But if you look at where that trajectory leads, you're kind of okay with it. You probably should be okay with it when it comes down to it, because they're not going to do Identity Crisis. And if they do, they're certainly not going to do it like the way it was done in the comics.
No, they better not.
No, it's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen like that. But anyway, so we got the Sue, Lena, Kyle finally meeting up with Ralph here. Cisco, by the way, absolutely loving Sue. Like, they just hit it off great, which I loved. I thought that was
cute.
Great. Yeah, it was very cute. Cisco's the best when he's the best. but we find out, surprise, she's not actually bad. She's been good this entire time, making some hard choices. There's that thing again, for the sake of saving her parents. Belle, were you surprised that Sue was actually good the whole time?
No, not really.
No, not at all. Right. I mean, that's the other thing with the Sue, Lena, Kyle, right? Like, they're playing her up as a Catwoman. So the idea is that, like, well, she's bad, but she's probably not that bad.
She'll like, if she was bad, she wouldn't. I mean, I don't know. Ralph would be dead.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, when it all comes down to it, they've got kind of their back and forth. And I think they've got great chemistry. I will say this for these actors. They really have got some great chemistry between the two. And
yeah,
perhaps we are seeing the establishment of a romance for the ages in their relationship. We got a little bit of a nod back to the 007 episode with January Galore.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is just the most 007 name that you can possibly get away with on network television. And, you know, I think that they, I think it's great. Did you notice that, that she did something though? You know, she did something. You know what she did?
What?
She took her face off.
That's what that tweet was context for. So I saw your tweets this morning, and then I was like, I haven't watched the episode yet, because I too almost did not have time to watch the episode today, and then it just completely like left my mind. And yeah, the face on the floor. That was. I want to take his face
off.
No more drugs for this man. One of the best John Woo action films, by the way.
I mean, you know what? We really, that needs to be a rose-colored retrospective right there.
It was brilliant. It was awesome.
Yes, exactly. It was awesome in a John Woo kind of way.
I don't understand what you're
talking
about.
No, hang on.
About.
Are you like, I don't mind going with you if we're like joking about how great it is, but I'm starting to get the sense that you're not joking about this.
Look, John Woo is a very competent excellent action director, dude.
All right, we are already off on tangents like crazy. Like a dove coming through the flames, Belle. Let me bring us back on track here.
It's beautiful. And you're ignorant.
All right, so there you go. Ralph, Cisco, Sue, Lena, Kyle, making the hard decisions to save her parents, but you know what? Doing what she's got to do. We also had another plot line going on this episode, which is the B team. Got to protect the B team because Wells and Allegra also in this episode. Iris, man, she is doing the arm thing. Now, this I found very, very interesting.
The arm thing.
You didn't notice the arm thing?
God, did I miss it?
She was scratching her arm. You remember how all of the mirror people are scratching their arm? She started scratching her arm, man.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
I remember last episode they started doing that, but like I just wasn't paying enough attention to Iris because I'm just so caught up in the whole like, how can you not tell?
I keep up, man. I want to reference this so bad, but I'm telling you, again, for those that get this reference, let me know that you get this reference so I'm not just like shouting into the dark here, but like what is going on with Dolores in season 3 Westworld is what is going on with Ava here. Like, I really think that's the situation, and that's the only way I can really talk about it without talking about it. But like, I want to know that other people see that. Legends, let me know if you're on track.
Can I start watching season 3 or do I have to watch the other 2 seasons?
You need to watch the other 2 seasons. Okay. Season 1 is fantastic, man. It is a fantastic show.
I've heard good things about season 1. I've heard bad things about season 2.
Season 2 is better when you're binge watching it. It was not great to watch at the time because of the way it was structured. But when you actually are binge watching it, it flows a lot nicer. But it's not as solid as season 1, and it's not as good as season 3. Season 3 is very good, but it's almost basically an entirely different show.
That's what I understood. Yeah.
Okay. So again, enough of Westworld TV talk. Delos TV talk. So they're all doing the arm scratchy thing. They're all, you know, the fact that even in the real world, whichever Iris is with Ava right now in the mirror universe is now doing the same scratching thing that the mirror people are doing in the real world.
Wait, you're talking about real Iris in the mirror dimension is scratching her arm?
Yes.
Oh, wait. So mirror Iris is not scratching her arm.
Mirror Iris has been scratching her arm in previous episodes. In this episode, unless this is a way like just out of left field, they're just messing with us. Maybe I'm looking too deep here, but she was scratching her arm this episode.
Iris. The supposed real Iris who's in the mirror dimension with Ava was scratching her arm.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. I thought you were talking about mirror Iris.
Who has been
in the past. I thought they were still kind of like, you know, I guess teasing that, but no. Okay. Wow. I did not notice that.
Yeah.
So that means that Iris is starting to like develop whatever craziness that Ava has.
Yes. That there's some sort of tie between the two. This is what I'm thinking. That there's some sort of tie between the two. You know, we don't get a chance to see Iris dealing with other people. That's you know, I've got some gripes. I don't mind saying that, but I'm trying to save my gripes until later on in the episode. So there's some things that we haven't discussed this episode that are going to come up later on here. Cause I want to talk about the positive stuff here. There's a lot of fun things that happened this episode. We got a lot of big reveals. And I do think there's a lot of cool things happening here, especially with the mirror universe. I'm starting to wonder though, Belle, like, is there still, I feel like we've gone all over the map with this, that mirror Iris is actually Ava, that actually mirror Iris is Iris, but she's been split in two, that there's some sort of combination of the two. Where do you fall right now on what's going on with real Iris?
I mean, I didn't notice the scratch, and I noticed she said that she's getting kind of used to being there.
She said she's gonna use, and when she was talking to her though, remember she was kind of going through this idea that she had with Barry being able to break her out because of the way that he's able to vibrate. And Mirror Master actually said to her, "You're on the right track." And I think that's an indication to us as an audience that in fact that yes, Iris has actually figured out now how to get out of here if they can get word out to Barry, which at the moment, obviously she's unable to do.
Yeah, well, she's unable to do, and she thinks that both of them are because Ava is like too tired or whatever to do it.
Yeah, and you know what? I'll go ahead and I'll talk about this now. We need to get Iris out of the mirror like 3 episodes ago.
Yeah,
we really need to get Iris out of the mirror because the mirror Iris plotline, while was cool at first because we got the chance to see like you know, Iris, like non-restriction Iris, like she was going out and she had this great episode in the story. And, you know, it was great for Candace because she got to play that character, but that character wasn't, we come to learn that that's not exactly our iris, or if it is, something weird is going on and we don't really fully know what's going on. And ever since then, in order for Mirror Iris to make sense in the real world, all of these characters have had to be just so stupid. Like, so very dumb. You've got to tell me that this stage in the game, Barry doesn't know that's not his wife or that something's up with her.
When she's kicking, this stage in the game,
Joe doesn't know, kicking out of the house. Like, just in general, like, are we to presume that they haven't seen each other in between episodes? Like, that no off screenville happens here? Like, is that like, what exactly? Why are we stretching this? That this is the thing that's been driving me a little crazy with this plot line, because I do think that it is cool. And I think that there is like cool factors to the Mirror universe. And I think there's amazing stories that you can tell with this. But we also have a ton of other stories that are crammed into this back half of the season. And you know what? Okay. Sorry.
Well, it's frustrating because, like, you know, there's the whole speed, losing a speed angle, right? That's important. And Iris being in the Mirror dimension, that's important. And like McCulloch technology, black hole, like that's important. I guess Suleena, Kyle, and Ralph is not really as important as any of these things.
But it might be. I mean, that crystal that she gave him may have very specific connections to whatever the big plot line that either Mirror Mister or Mister Mirror Master are working towards. You know what I mean? Like, whatever. Yeah. Like, one of them is like the fact that there's kind of that, you know, I mean, you got to think about it, right? Black hole, they're dealing with light. Mirror Master is dealing with reflection. Obviously, you know, her husband has gone out of his way to remove reflective services so that she can't just show up there. There's some sort of contrast here. And so Crystal kind of plays into that, right? Because you have reflection and then you have light, but then Crystal's kind of the transference of light through kind of reflective surfaces. So I have a feeling that there is going to be a big, like, that is a component that's going to tie those two stories together. I could be wrong, but I think that's the case.
Yeah, I just, because the Iris thing, I know we talked about this before, but like, you know, in previous episodes and even earlier on, where like, you know, Iris was more confident and, you know, this change that we saw in her, we found out wasn't real. And then so it like that.
Or
that
maybe kinda, it is. We don't know.
Yeah.
Everything's shrouded in mystery, which is been the case this back half of the season.
I mean, because it feels like it's going to be a thing where, you know, I think Barry's going to lose his speed, not going to be able to, and then he's going to find out that Iris is in there, and then it's going to be, maybe there'll be more interesting things happening in the Mirror universe, and we can get rid of Mirror Iris and develop Iris in the Mirror universe as opposed to developing Mirror Iris in the real universe.
Yeah, I don't know.
And
I don't know.
But like, there's so much stuff, and it's like, I mean, you know, Cisco says, "Oh yeah, I'm running simulations on my Speed Force that I'm building."
Right. Okay, we also have the artificial Speed Force that is being developed off screen, so we know that some stuff happens off screen.
Yeah. But like, yeah, I don't know. It's just really irritating to me that Barry hasn't noticed anything, or at least when he did, he mentioned it to Joe. Joe didn't seem concerned at all.
Right.
It's like,
It's just requiring people to be really stupid, and it makes no sense that
their whole argument that, you know, when Iris is sitting there saying, "Oh, you can go, you can search 50 mile area in 3 seconds," like Iris would be the first person to tell him, Barry, you have to conserve your speed.
Exactly. And Barry would know that.
Yeah.
They have a good relationship. They have had one of the best like relationships of all of these shows. You know what I mean? Like, of everything in the CW verse. They've had a really solid relationship, or at least everything, like, up until, you know, pre-crisis, they were like the relationship of their Earth.
Like, I think what it would happen if this was real Iris, it would be like, "Babe, I'm so sorry. There wasn't enough time to get you before Joe went off." And she'd be like, "I understand. I'm upset. But you have to realize that, you know, you have to save your speed to save someone else. Joe will be back. My dad will be back. Like, I will see him. It was sad I didn't get to see him, but, you know, blah, blah, blah." Like, that's how that would have gone down. But instead she's like, because it's very, why was he not like, just mention something or say something? It's like, why are you trying to get me to use my speed for this?
Yeah, I mean, if anything, this may be the catalyst. We may discover next week that this is the catalyst that actually causes him to figure out what's up. But at the same time, I would still argue, even without that, it's weird that nobody would know. And they've had to, anyway, it gets into some other stuff that I want to get into. And I'll just say before we jump into the speculation here, because, you know, we do have some fun speculation to jump into. But for those that may have saw, yes, on Twitter, as I was watching this episode, I really kind of hit a wall and I was like, man, there's a lot of, you know, I love this show. I love this franchise, but there's a lot of leaps that we're having to make right now. And there's a lot that's being juggled right now with this back half of the season. And it made me want to stop watching, at least for the night. And I picked up and rewatched the next morning and enjoyed it very much. But like, you know, it made me realize that going into this week's podcast that, like, I was like, all right, so we can get on the mic. We can be super negative and nitpicky, which I never want to be. That's never what I want this show to be. And I mean, I've expressed that even when we have nitpicked in the past. This is just not something I want this show to be. That being said, I do have kind of like some thoughts that I want to share about the trajectory of where this season is going and the trajectory of where the franchise is going. But first, man, I want to get into like one more fun aspect before getting like in this like super negative zone, if you will. And that is, of course,
Speedster speculation.
All right, Val, where are the real Camilla and Singh? Because we got the reveal at the end of this episode that Captain Singh is also a mirror version, or at least in league. I mean, I think we could presume that Singh is actually a mirror Singh, right?
Well, he said the thing, right? What was the quote where it's like something is compliance or something like that, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be done. But that's the thing. Like the way that she converses with him is the same way we've seen her conversing with Camilla, the same way we've seen her conversing with Iris. And so for all intents and purposes, we can assume that Singh has been replaced.
Yes.
Where are Camilla and Singh? Like, is there a locker in that room somewhere with bodies? You know
what
I mean?
This is another thing that's been bothering me. It's like, is it they've shown...
Success is assured. Thank you, Dr. Allen.
Success is assured. Yeah. That's it. I thought Iris, being who she is, she'd like, I don't know, go out into the mirror universe and try to like explore, maybe go to Star Labs and see if there's something she could do in Star Labs to like... you know, impact the real Star Labs, or, you know, I thought she wouldn't just spend her entire time in that one room. And I thought by like the second episode that she was in there, that she would be exploring and she'd open a door and she'd see like a tied up Camilla in there or something like that.
Yeah,
know?
Exactly. Yeah. And now like, Captain Singh and probably three other people we don't even know about.
Yeah. Like, or that she'd come across these people, but like not once has she even thought to do anything like that. And that's just, I don't know. I just feel like that's kind of out of character for her. She's an investigative journalist, right? She's investigating stuff.
Well, let's presume, like, that's a good point though, Belle, but let's just for the moment anyway, presume that that's the case, that she has gone through and she can't find him in this room. And so they are not in this room.
Can't find
Singh or Camilla.
I wouldn't think they'd be in that room. I think that Ava would have taken them somewhere else. That's what I'm saying. Like, I figured she'd explore the McCulloch Technology Building and, like, you know, maybe try to find some other kind of thing. And they're like, oh, crap, I stumbled in the janitor's closet and here's Camilla and why is she tied up and, like, what's going on?
I mean, that could be the case. It is a big...
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying she's keeping him in the room. I'm saying Ava's, like, put him somewhere else.
But everything that she does has to do with that one mirror, right? And so Iris would have to be, like... out of the room, which we know she isn't, like, from everything that you just pointed out. Like, she's just been chilling in the same room. So it's not like she would have had the time to knock him out. And even if she did knock him out, I mean, one presumes you have to eat in the mirror universe. You know what I mean? Like, is she feeding him big belly burger?
it'd be Gib Yelib. I can't reverse burger in my head. I'm sorry.
You know, in the mirror universe, all dyslexics, we're the ones that are.
Hey, in the land of the mirror, the dyslexic man is king.
That's right. That's right.
But I don't know. Like, so there's different circumstances by how which they came into the mirror universe, right? So Ava got hit by the particle accelerator wave and it blew her into the mirror, and that's how she got in there. Iris was grabbed through that same mirror by Ava. Camilla was put in there by the mirror gun. So different entry point.
That's interesting. Yeah. That's actually a really, really good point. And we don't know what Singh's situation is.
And we don't know what happened with Singh. So my guess is Camilla's in there with freaking Cicada's dagger, like trying to claw her way out.
Wow. Interesting. That would be something. I'm actually wondering if they... What if they don't exist anymore? Like, what if they've actually been like removed from the real universe and replaced with their mirror copies, but for whatever reason, they're not coming back?
So you're telling me that Camilla is dead and Captain Singer dead.
And yeah, Camilla and Singer dead.
But Iris isn't for some unknown mystical reason.
Because Iris was pulling. We don't know why. I mean, one imagines, I don't know, maybe because of the, gosh, I don't know.
Because of plot armor? Like, I mean.
Yeah. I mean, I would hate for them to kill Sing, but they've kind of promoted him off the show. And so it's like the only thing you can do now with him is kill him, which is terrible.
Because
he's not going to have, like, we know that he's not going to have a relationship with Pied Piper. Like, you know, in the comics, they have a relationship, but there's an age disparity here that would make things, no offense to Sabanki. I'm not trying to say, anyway, point is that there's an age disparity there.
Have you not seen Call Me By Your Name?
I have not, no.
There's an age disparity there, and it's still a beautiful tale.
I'm sure it is, but my point is, he's also married. Like, he's already in a relationship. So my point is that it's not going to be the comics. So, like,
right.
He doesn't have the same connection beyond the connections that are already established in the show, and because they promoted Joe and moved Sing out, the only thing you can imagine is with him, they might remove him. Also, when it comes to Camilla, we know that Allegra is going to be a regular next season, but there's not been any mention of her. So I'm starting to wonder if they're on a track that basically what we're seeing is remnants of who they were because they've actually been killed off by Ava.
I don't know.
And the only reason that Iris hasn't is because, and I mean this sincerely, reasons.
That, I don't know. I really feel like we're going to be, I hope this isn't the route that they're going, but I don't know. I feel like there might be a situation where like Iris somehow gets out and then there's still mirror Iris and Barry's going to like, you know, be like, no, I'm the real Iris. It's like, no, I'm the real Iris kind of thing. I really hope they don't do that.
Yeah.
I don't know. And like, they're going to do something cheesy. Like, you know, like
which one? Shoot her. No, shoot her.
Well, like the Speed Force is going to come back because he's going to like touch her and a spark is going to happen. That's how he's going to know.
Belle, that's it. That's great. That's a great idea.
I don't think so.
No, actually, I love that idea. No, that like they could actually like from their reconnection, their unity, it kind of like rebirths the Speed Force.
I mean, maybe, but like that came out of my like cheesy writing part of my brain.
I think that's a fantastic idea. The only problem, well, no, because time doesn't matter because it's the Speed Force. No, that's great. I like that idea. I want to co-sign that idea that you don't even want to claim. That's a great idea.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. That's how the Speed Force is going to get restarted. Barry's going to touch Iris and it's going to make a spark, and that's how he's going to know that she's the real Iris. And then Mirror Iris is going to get, I don't know, apprehended, shot with a mirror gun, something like that. I don't know
about all the context of that, but I do like the idea of the Speed Force, like them reuniting is actually a spark for like recreating the Speed Force or like regenerating the Speed Force or reigniting the Speed Force. I think that sounds amazing.
Okay, so here's a scenario, right? It's raining, it's on the rooftop. Barry has no speed. He's got the mirror gun though, right? Okay. And you know, they're standing and they're wearing the same clothes, all that kind of stuff. They're at the top of the roof. And you know, they're both like, Barry, it's me. You know who I am, and blah 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 blah. And like he walks up slowly, you know, to one of them, and then he just blasts her, right?
Boom.
And then he turns to the other. And she's like, I knew, this is what's going to make me so mad if they do this. It's like, I knew that you would find me. And he's going to be like, I've always known. And the sparks are going to happen when he touches her face. And he's going to be like, no, you didn't. You didn't always know.
See, because now you're griping about something they're probably not going to do.
Like, I know, you're right, though.
If they did, that would be very egregious. It's like, really? Always knew, Barry? No, that is very clear that that's not the case. They've had to make a lot of leaps to make that the case, but it is what it is.
But so. I will stand by the thing that I think there's going to be, you know, the clone roof classic face-off trope. And
yeah, definitely.
The spark between them. I mean, whatever. I'll throw that out there. That's gonna rebirth the Speed Force.
Okay. I like that. I really do like that's the origins of not necessarily a new Speed Force, but the resetting of the current or the actual Speed Force. I really like that idea.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm sticking with it, man. I think that Camilla and Sing are dead. I think that they died and we didn't even know it. You know what I mean? Like, I think it happened and we missed it. and we're just dealing. Well, not, I mean, Camilla, we saw it happen, but I think that, that Singh is gone.
I mean, when she got hit with the mirror gun, I was like, yikes. I mean, I don't know how you come back from that, but that's why I was thinking that the episode after that is when Iris is going to go exploring around and find her in there. And then we're going to have because right now there's no like intrigue on the inside, right? It's just Iris kind of being naive and just trusting Ava every step of the way.
Sure. I wouldn't necessarily call that naive. I mean, she was kind of on guard beforehand, but I mean, at the same time, it is like, you know, you're stuck in purgatory with this one other individual. I mean, like, go back to season one Arrow if you want to know how you deal with that situation. So I'm fine with that per se. I'm just really kind of, it's more of the rest of the world not realizing what's up at this point, which
but
is
also
just bizarre.
If Iris hasn't gone anywhere else in the mirror universe, how is Ava getting all this free time to herself to talk to her mirror clones?
That's a good point, actually. You almost kind of wonder if maybe there's multiple, maybe there's an infinite mirror universe, you know, like a mirror pointing at a mirror and having like several like out there. So maybe there are pocket mirror universes where she's doing the same thing with Camilla and Singh. Who knows? But we'll find out. But you're sticking with it. You think that Camilla and Singh are in a cabinet somewhere?
I think so, because I think that's going to drive some really interesting action and plots and stuff on the mirror side of the universe.
Okay, fair enough. I think they're dead. I hope they're not, but I think they are. So there you go. That's our speculation. Let us know what your speculation are. Where are the real Camilla and Singh? We want to hear your thoughts. Send those in to us. All right, so we're doing something different this week. Instead of listener feedback, as I mentioned at the top of the show and kind of throughout, this particular week, and I don't know if it's like the world that we're living in right now. You know, time capsule. We made mention of this. We're living in a time capsule right now. You could be listening to this episode this weekend. You could be listening to this episode 10 years from now as you've found The Flash on Netflix or whatever, Blugan, Flacken, Zacken, whatever the new thing is that we don't even know exists, the new streaming service, right? Disney Plus, right? This is probably on Disney Plus because at this point, it's all owned by Disney Plus. We might be owned by Disney Plus at this point. Who knows? Point is that at this time in space, when we're recording this particular episode, it is the middle of the COVID-19 crisis. It's the middle of the coronavirus. And I got to tell you, Belle, when I sat down to watch this episode, my patience for CW manufactured drama was pretty dang low. It was pretty low. And that's not me getting mad at this per se. Like,
that's external influences on you.
Exactly. CW show's great. It's like, it's like candy. Sweet. It's delicious. Sometimes chewy, sometimes crunchy, sometimes hard. You got to kind of chuck on a little bit, but ultimately it's not very healthy for you. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like a meal per se. Sometimes it is. Sometimes, I mean, look, I love this series and we've had some of the best moments in television, I believe, over the course of this series. Some of the ways, especially with how they've told certain character arcs, have been phenomenal. You know, and some have been lackluster, but all of them do have that teenage drama, despite the fact that none of these characters are teenagers, they all still kind of get pulled into that teenage drama CW-ness.
Well, it's the CW formula. This is why for years I never wanted to watch Smallville, because I didn't like the CW's... I'm not saying that Smallville's bad. I'm this is not at all what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you always wanted me to watch Smallville, and I was like, oh, what networks come on? You're like, CW. And I was like, I can't trust a show that's on that network. And granted, you know, I still haven't watched it. Maybe I'm wrong. I probably am. A lot of people really, really like the show. And so when you were like, let's do the Flash show. And I was like, what network's it on? It's like CW. I was like, but I really liked it. I really liked it. And I think you're right. I think you're right. Like the CW does have a formula, and sometimes the Flash follows it, but there's been a lot of really genuine moments in the Flash and good things about the Flash and real heartfelt emotion and drama.
That's it. That's the one. Heartfelt. Like you can have cheese. Like, there's nothing wrong with cheese. Cheesiness is great, but if you're it works, and it can work on an emotional level because you get invested in the characters. Like,
you age the cheese.
Let's
You have the cheese. It's in your cave.
It might have mold on it, but it's supposed to have mold on it.
It's mold that you put there with your love and your care. And you love that cheese. And that cheese one day will be delicious.
Terrible metaphors aside, let's, for context, I think this is a good comparison. On this episode, I referenced Westworld. You mentioned Smallville. Let's take these two shows. These two shows, which are far enough removed from what we're actually talking about, which is The Flash, that like you can critique them without anybody's feelings being hurt. Smallville is a great show, but it is also, as you mentioned, I mean, it is a show meant for a time and a place and kind of has that CW-esque formula. So there's a lot of cheesiness to it. A lot of the relationships are kind of that manufactured drama nature to it. And that's fine. Now take Westworld. And you look at like, that's a dense, like unpacked the nature of reality and like your mind and God. Like it's a dense show that has some stuff to say. Now, one of the reasons both of these shows work so well is actually the same thing, which is you care about the characters. Like when the characters are, when you're able to get attached to them, when you're able to connect with them, that's when they become real. And it could be the cheesiest thing that you're seeing happen. But at the same time, if you know what it means to that character, it hits you on a very real, visceral way. And we've seen that. We've seen that with like all of these characters, or all of our main characters at various stages and their relationships with each other. I mean, there have been some Joe Barry scenes that just cut you to the core. I mean, like, you know, I think this earlier this season, after they had their big goodbye moment, I called up my dad because there was something about that scene they had together that just hit me right where I was. And I really felt it. The stuff last season, the reason why the Nora relationship with Barry and Iris spoke to me is because I saw the way that she was looking at them, the way that they were looking at her, and it made me relate to it in a way that I understand as a father and also as a child. Like, you know what I mean? Like as somebody who can connect with like the reality of, you know, something core to who those characters are. All right. That's the thing that makes cheese work. That's the reason why these shows are able to work. And I think the reason they speak to us is because the genuineness of the actual characters. Bell, the problem that I have, and I say Belle, this is actually not to you, buddy. I love you and I love talking to you and I love presenting everything to you, but I want to actually do something right now. And I want to speak directly to those behind the scenes at The Flash. And we know you're listening. We know you tuned in live. We always have a couple of CW executives.
I've got Berlanti on the phone right now listening to our conversation.
But is he still involved? I'm just kidding. Listen, here's the deal. I love this franchise. I love this show. I love so many of these characters and I love who they've been and what they've been and what they've gone through. And yes, there's like some cheesy, crazy comic book stuff going on. And guess what? I love that too. This episode was about hard choices. And to me, it seems like somebody has not been making the hard choices that need to happen with this show. Because as has been memed and expressed from the fandom as a whole, we as a community, I think this is fair. We all feel that this show is very bloated on characters. Now, that's not to say that there's not characters that like that every character on there is not, you know, there's no Jar Jar Binks here. Everybody loves all of these characters and people love Jar Jar Binks these days too. That's a whole nother tangent. But anyway, point is like, there's not like a specific character that everybody hates. Now you might be listening right now. Somebody might be listening and they might think, oh, well, I hate, you know, so-and-so. How dare you say that? I can't stand so-and-so. And you know, all of these people on Reddit agree with me. It's like, well, yeah, but you know what? That's the other people. That's their favorite character. Like there's always, for some character that somebody hates, there's somebody's
favorite. There's not a universally hated character.
There's not a universally hated. That is exactly right, Belle. That's exactly right. Even me, I've gone through characters I didn't like. Wasn't a huge fan of Ralph. Now he's quite charming. You sold me on him. And I mean, you know, with time and storylines, you're able to do that, but it requires time and storylines. And those time and storylines can only be given when the characters are given the chance to have those time and storylines. Y'all made some great decisions this season with this show, with the crisis, having split this season up into essentially two mini seasons. We got a fantastic first half of the season. We had a really fun crisis in the middle of it. And now I don't know what you're doing because you're trying to cram essentially like 3 years worth of content into one season, to 3 years worth of stories in one season, while also stretching out all those stories at the same time. And somehow it feels like too much and too slow because of the way that this balancing act is trying to be accomplished, and it's just not happening. Like, I really, you know, I think that the Mirror Universe storyline is fantastic. I think it could have provided a lot of opportunities to explore Iris as a character, not just the mirror version, but the way the, you know, quote unquote real version, if that's even her. You might pull the rug out under us, and maybe mirror version is real Iris and mirror Iris is mirror Iris. I don't know. We're going to find out eventually. But it's been unclear because we haven't gotten really chance to spend time with her. We haven't gotten a chance to really spend time with Allegra, who we're supposed to be caring about. We don't really know anything about her. This particular Wells, we don't really know that much about. Even this, after this whole exorcism, it's hard to care about him because we just haven't spent much time with him. Even the Flash, Barry Allen, who's got a lot of great stuff that's going on, a lot this back half of the season, we haven't gotten to spend time with him. It doesn't feel like we've gotten to spend any time with any of these characters really at all. And it makes their plot lines convoluted at best, because they're not really all tied together. Now, maybe they will be, but at the moment, it just doesn't feel right. Hard choices have to be made. I have said for quite a couple times, like, Joe, one of my favorite characters, he probably should have died about 3 years ago. I love that actor and I love that character. Again, referencing something that happened this season that was super emotional for me and just connected with me in a big way. Like, I love those moments, but that's why it's a hard decision. Like, you got to kill off some of these characters. If you're going to let some of these newer characters shine, you're going to have to let some of these old characters go. That's just the way it is. You know, we didn't even get the chance to do our typical joke, which is, you know, Caitlin also in this episode, because Caitlin, not actually in this episode. We had to do it with Wells and Allegra. Like,
yeah.
Which we've never done it with anybody else other than Caitlin, because typically that's the gag, is that it's always Caitlin who does. But now they're all Caitlin. They're all Caitlin. And that's a problem. So anyway, I just say this as there's a lot of good decisions that were made this season in terms of having everything split up. It provided for a really, really tight story on the front end. I wish that it was also providing for a tight story on the back end. It's not. And I think in large part, that's because the cast is too big. I think you could cut this cast literally in half and do this exact same format with kind of the double season, 2-in-1 season, and you'd have a much, much better show. Now, how would you cut it in half? Who would you lose? That's a hard choice. But I don't get paid to make those hard choices. I don't really even get paid to say this right now, honestly, right now, with the way that our donations, our support is going. So when it all comes down to it, I'm just putting this out there because I'm a fan of the show. I have a very popular podcast, and I'm hoping that somebody, with all due respect, if you're able to listen, take this to heart from somebody who loves this show. Make the hard choices. I'm not going to like some of those hard choices that you make. You're going to get rid of some of my favorite characters, but it'll be the right thing to do because you'll be able to tell better stories. And at the end of the day, more so than the characters themselves, I like good stories, but those good stories are made when characters are given the opportunity to shine. So there it is. That's my open letter to the creators show. I trust that the actual person who's on staff there that does listen to this podcast, and yes, we are talking about you, Coffee Boy, put this on the desk. And
yeah. So I noticed in the chat, Mystic Celeste wrote this. They wrote, Danielle Panabaker did make a comment about this on Instagram yesterday. She said that there were a lot of characters and that was to give actors time off. So I don't know if they are doing it to keep certain actors or what. And that's a very good point. It's, you know, when you have these tentpole characters and these tentpole actors that support and hold up your show, and they say, you know what, I want to go do this other thing. And again, like you said, Bo, it's a hard choice. You either tell them, no, you're sticking to our shooting schedule. And then they go, okay, well, bye, I quit. Or they say, all right, well, we'll work with you. We'll work with your schedule. You want to go do that for 6 months? Okay, cool. Well, we'll write you into this.
But who? Like, I get that. But at the same time, I mean, and I don't know. I mean, like, Candace is still there. You know what I mean? Like, she's actually getting the screen time. It's just a version that's not the character. You know what I mean? Like, she's just not playing the character.
Well, right. And that's a big frustration for me as well, is that, like, you know, we always want better stuff for Iris. We want, you know,
stuff for Barry, because that's the other thing, too. He's still there, too. Like, honestly, you need those two, in my mind, and pretty much everybody else is expendable.
Yeah.
And so, like, do a first half of the season with half the cast and Barry and Iris, and do a second half of the season with the other half of the cast. and bury an iris. You know what I mean? Like, you can, if that's the case, then at least give those characters a chance to really participate in the story. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. I've had the same gripe that they have too many characters on the show. I've also had the same gripe that, you know, they should split the show into multiple story arcs, which they did this
season.
Which
they did.
Which is great.
They did. See, they were listening to you. Coffee guy got that note on their desk. We're counting on you, coffee guy.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it's a thing, right? It's making the shorter seasons was a great idea, and I think it was a great move, and it worked so well in the first half of the season. It worked great with Crisis, and now we have this, and I think the reason why, you know, obviously why you're not thinking it's working is because of all the different characters that we're bouncing around between, and I kind of agree. Like, we don't have a full season to do all this kind of stuff. So either you just, I don't know, you write them out in a way so that we don't have to go, hey, where's Caitlin this episode? Or, hey, where's Allegra this episode? Or, hey, you know, where's Camilla this episode?
They pop up like five episodes later and it's like, oh yeah, there's this story from like weeks ago.
Yeah.
Care about this now and forget about this other cool factor that we just got you excited. Like no, like don't.
I mean, rotate them onto Legends or something. I don't care.
Rotate them onto Legends. There you go.
Yeah, rotate them onto Legends. If you're worried about people, like, you know, not watching because they're not going to have their favorite show, put them on the best show on the CW right now, and that's Legends of Tomorrow. You can watch more of my Legends of Tomorrow podcast.
There you go. Anyway,
seriously, listen to my podcast, Legends TV Talk.
So I wanted to put this out there for two reasons. One is I wanted to kind of collectively put that feedback in a very condensed way. But there's another reason too, which is I don't want to be a podcast that just comes on everybody like, oh, they got too many characters. And I feel like we've done that too much. I feel like I've personally done that too much. And so my goal, and I hope that y'all hold me accountable to this, because I really don't want to keep saying that week after week. So I've said my piece on this subject, and my goal is to not bring up that gripe again on the podcast. And I really hope I do that.
I know you won't. I know it's going to be like two episodes from now. There's going to be a similar kind of thing where it's like, oh, I want some more of that story, but I can't have it because of Ralph.
I won't say that. I might be like, oh man, artificial speed force is a really interesting situation that is not how the speed force should work. So it's going to be a problem. Really can't wait to see what that problem is.
Artificial speed force is a red herring. It's never going to happen. Barry is going to shoot Mirror Iris on the rooftop and then touch regular Mirrors. The lightning bolt's going to restart speed force.
I think the artificial speed force is going to create Godspeed. That's what I think.
No, it's red herring.
All right. We'll see. All right. Well, there you go. That's all of our thoughts. It's all out there. We put it out there. I hope, look, if you're loving this style, then great. That is awesome. And I really don't want to take that away from you, but I had to voice that. And, there you go. But let us know what your thoughts are. We want to hear from you. Head over to twitter.com/FlashTVTalk, where you can follow us there. Also, feel free to voice directly at us. You can ring that bell or at the real Bo York for me.
But if 280 characters isn't enough to express your love for our show, feel free to email us at flash@podastery.com. That's podastery.com.
And for the latest news and not live streams anymore, facebook.com/flashTVTalk. So that's why I'll just go ahead and say twitch.tv/TheRealBoYork is where you can tune in for the live shows. We'll be doing them there for the foreseeable future. So again, that's twitch.tv/TheRealBoYork.
And as always, special thanks to Charlie Bach, who provides music for our show. You can check out the rest of his awesome stuff at soundcloud.com/CharlieBach.
Shouts out to the great folks at TVTalk.fm, wonderful TV talking shows for those that like talking about the TVs. TVTalk.fm, that's going to do it for us for this week. But don't worry, we'll be back in a flash.